Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Dunick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Another 4 hours of a lot of stuff to get to, and I mean a lot. We're going to cover a lot of bases, a lot of ground here on the program today. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside Willie Dunick is up in Toronto where the Predators are. Tonight it's the Leafs and the Preds. 6 o'clock puck drop. Pregame at 5 o'clock. Everything heard right here on these airwaves. And it was made official after we got off the air yesterday, about an hour or so, that indeed the game against Ottawa on Thursday has been canceled. So no Senators game.
Postponed.
On Thursday. Postponed, right? There is a difference. It is not canceled.
We learned the difference between canceled and postponed.
Boy, did we
ever.
Yeah. In 2020. I mean, and I knew the difference. It's just.
I know.
It's you say that, and then it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's.
That's why I'm here to. We're teammates. You know, I'm here to help you.
So there'll be a later date of when that game will be rescheduled. But so this will be a two-game trip to Canada. And it'll be Montreal Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night. So.
And it's my understanding they're just going to stay up in Canada.
Wow.
So
I am surprised by that, but
I think it's just the hassle.
Yeah,
probably
to and from getting in and out of the country.
I mean, with customs and everything,
it makes sense. I mean, anywhere else in the States that was that distance. I mean, what does it take to fly to Toronto?
I don't know. I've never
over
been
2 hours.
Yeah, I've never been, so I don't know. I've been to Winnipeg.
I've done
that's it.
So I'm trying to think. I guess it was probably a little bit over two hours, something like that. You would come back, right?
Yeah.
Two and a half hours, I think, maybe to fly there.
Well, especially with a charter that, you know, you can leave whenever. But I just think with everything, it just – they elected just to stay.
It's got to be because of the hassle to get in and out, so
yeah.
They'll just stay up there. So it'll be the Leafs tonight, and then the Canadiens on Saturday. So nothing against Ottawa. A lot of news also has happened since we got off the airwaves. It has been made official in Blacksburg. They are moving on from Justin Fuente after this season. So
mm-hmm.
he will not see a seventh season as Virginia Tech's head coach. They're going to be looking for somebody else. I have to believe, just because of how he's beloved, and I have no idea if he has any interest in this or not, just because some of the things that you're reading and hearing coming out of there, that, you know, if you remember Justin Fuente at Memphis, you shouldn't be that surprised. Basically, their AD saying they need to find someone who engages the community, and the state of Virginia will be important. Justin Fuente was not very engaging. He kind of just was a ball coach, just was interested in kind of just being a football coach. And if you remember, I'm not even sure we ever had him on, maybe once.
I think we did. We did
maybe
have him on
one time. He came on, but he really wasn't that interested in doing interviews. Also, the AD said that person cannot be insular to these days. So, you know, someone that's, if you don't understand what that word means, there's, to me, I guess, two different ways to look at it. You know, narrow-minded is, I guess, the official definition of that. But the other is I just think that, you know, they want somebody – you just – I've said this for years. Like, you just can't – you don't get paid this kind of money just to say I'm just a ball coach. Like, well, right. You know, Jeremy Pruitt, like, you're not. That's not how it works anymore. And I know that's what you could do when you were a high school coach in Alabama. That's great. But, you know, you don't get to go to big boy schools and get paid lots of money just to say I'm just here to be a ball coach. Like, that's not how it works anymore, man. You have to be out there, man. You got to roll up your sleeves. And some do it better than others, but at least you got to pretend. And my guess is Justin Fuente really wasn't very good at pretending to act like he cared about anything other than being a football coach.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Question is Bud Foster, you know, because he's a guy that understands the program better than anybody. Is he a guy that
He retire?
Well, I know, but is he somebody that could be talked out of retirement? Like, oh, like when people retire, they never come out of retirement?
Yeah. No, but I don't know. I mean,
who's the Falcons' defensive coordinator again?
I understand.
How many times has he retired?
Seven.
Six, but okay.
It happens. It happens a lot. I get that, but I also kind of wonder if. Huh? You make a good point. You've kind of got me here, because I was about to say I think they're going to go up and comer, which is what they did before, and obviously that didn't work. But to me, it feels like Jamie Chadwell, Billy Napier, somebody like that, but. Does it do the program, you know, is it good for the program if you get Bud Foster for a couple seasons out of retirement to kind of rebuild things, get the fan base, you know, back on board? He's a, you know, beloved name, and then you go and hire somebody. That's interesting.
I mean, I know he did it for a long time, but it's not like Bud Foster's 82 years old.
No, I mean,
I think he's like 60 or something.
Yeah, he is.
I know he's done it forever. But
62.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, give me a break. I mean, that's not crazy. I guess going by that scenario, was it, you know, I mean, it's not like they're unstable. It's not like they're a train wreck, right? When I was going to use the Phil Fulmer reference, was it worth it for a couple of years for him to be AD to try to stabilize things? I guess to each his own, everybody would have their own opinion. But think about where it was when he took over. I know there were, you know, obviously some things that.
What is that job now? I asked Ryan.
Don't understand what Virginia Tech.
Ryan and I were walking in together this morning when the news broke, and I looked at him and I said, "What is that job?" And he kind of answered it the way I thought he would have, you know, like, it's a good question. So how would you answer it before I tell you what he says?
I mean, it's a good program. I mean, you can win at Virginia Tech. I mean. Justin Fuente did.
Right. But is it like where in the – I know it's not an elite job. It's not, you know, upper echelon. But where in the grand scheme of things – because he used the phrase it's a good job, but it's overrated. And I don't think I disagree with that.
What does that mean, overrated in what
Well, and just
fashion?
Like it's not – you know, it's not one of the best in the ACC, even though I know that's –
I would say Frank Beamer would push back on that.
Well, maybe at the time it was, but, I mean, I'm asking you what it is now.
Well, but, I mean, what's changed? I mean, you just have to have the right guy. I mean, Frank Beamer had it, a ranked team every year, in the thick of things every year for a long time. I mean, Virginia Tech was considered one of the elite programs, right? They were always in the thick of things. Yeah, and I don't think he didn't tear down any doors, you know, if you're judging by that. You know, national champion, I used to say that – he's a guy that gets a whole lot of hype that hasn't, you know, finished things off. But, I mean, that's a guy that won double digits like
well, maybe
every year.
I guess that's where the overrated part comes in of, you know, it's really, really good, but it's not – you're not going to be able to get over the hump there and win the whole thing.
Well, I don't know if I buy that. I think the right coach can – you can absolutely – you can, but you got to have the right coach. I mean,
well, and it's all about recruiting, and that's one thing that, you know, Fuente has had an issue with.
Yeah, it's more difficult.
I mean, Mac Brown is recruiting Virginia for North Carolina pretty heavily right now and taking recruits that you know, many feel could go to Virginia Tech. So, I mean, that's one thing that whoever the next guy is. And to your point, maybe that's where Bud Foster can fix some things if he, you know, if they go down that road, that he knows the area and can help with some of the recruiting in the, you know, in the home state. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it's a bad job by any means. I'm kind of asking, you know, what is it at this point? And, you know, the ACC, now I would assume Clemson's going to come back. I mean, I'm going to say that they are until they don't. But, you know, I think the ACC in football has been relatively weak outside of Clemson. Florida State clearly hasn't come back. So it's an opportunity for sure to, you know, kind of be one of the better programs alongside Clemson if Clemson comes back.
I mean, think about this sample from 1999 to 2011. 11-1, 11-1, 8-4, 10-4, 8-5, 10-3, 11-2, 10-3, 11-3, 10-4, 10-3, 11-3, 11-3. I mean, that's from 99 to 2011, so that's what, 12 years?
Yeah.
12.
With Beamer.
Looks like, yeah. 13 seasons. You've got 5-6 of the 13. So almost half were 11-win seasons. I mean, you tell me. He didn't do it, but can you win? I mean, could you put yourself in position to get into the college football playoffs? The answer is yes.
Yeah, but what you just named is Frank Beamer. Like that, and I understand that, and so that's where they got to get this right. But you know, you also have to look at a program that I'll use Tennessee as an example. There was a time where you could say that about Tennessee, and then they didn't make the right hires, and the program is nowhere near that now. The program has gone into a different tier, and so can the next guy? And I understand it's a huge task to follow Frank Beamer. That was one thing that was said from the very beginning. But can the next guy that they get it back to where Beamer had it, or is it going to continue to go the wrong direction?
Right, but how is it overrated? If that's what I was getting. I mean, his worst season in that window was 8-5. I mean, every season in that 13 seasons, let's see, other than two, were double-digit wins. I mean, that gives you a chance, right? I mean – so you have the opportunity, but you just have to have the right person in place. I mean, the way I look at things today, if you really, the answer is, if you have the right coach, you can win anywhere, because all you have to do is get yourself right. I mean, with the play, all you got to do is get into the playoffs. I mean,
right, and it's about to get easier.
I mean, who says you can't win? Like, okay, I understand. You know, you could say, well, Vanderbilt, all right. You know, there obviously are people that would push back and say, you cannot win at all at Vanderbilt, because they haven't. And Kentucky hasn't, right? They haven't even won SEC championships. So, I mean, I get it. So I guess there are certain programs that you could say, well, they can't. But, I mean, are you telling me if – I mean, look what Mark Stoops has done. It's hard. It's harder than other places. But are you telling me you couldn't win it at Kentucky if you had – the right coach? I don't think the answer is you can't.
I think I would answer that with I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen it. So, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen.
He
didn't win a national championship at Virginia Tech, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. He put themselves in position to win it many, many times, but they just couldn't finish it off.
Yeah. I was reading this in The Athletic, and here's one thing that Virginia Tech is going to have to fix with this. Fuentes' 10 full-time assistants were scheduled to earn a combined $3.9 million in 2021. That is far below Clemson, which is $8.14 million, and below North Carolina, which is $5.3. So they got to invest more in a staff. And I think they were only paying him like $4.25, which isn't bad, but... you know, you got to invest more in, because we know with recruiting now that, you know, coaches are more the head coach is more the closer than anything. It's, you know, getting the right staff members that can recruit, and then obviously coach as well. So to me, I feel like that's something they're going to have to invest more in with the next guy, is the staff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the part that you can answer and push back on and say, is the school committed?
Right.
Is the school willing to pay? Is the school willing to, you know, get the proper resources, right? I mean, so yeah. There is that.
And I have to guess that number went down once Bud Foster retired, because I'm pretty sure Bud Foster was making, you know, because he was a holdover. He hung around for a while under Fuente. He was there for so long, I would say he was making pretty good money. So I'm sure that number dropped once he retired. It is interesting you bring him up, though. Would they try that?
And I have no idea if he's willing to do it, but, you know, I would think they would at least ask, would they not?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think. I don't know.
I've seen some names floating around.
But when you hear that about, you know, what the AD is saying they need, I mean, certainly you have to think that. I mean, there's nobody that understands their culture better than him. And yeah. Frank Beamer, right? Those two understand that culture better than anybody.
Well, I mean, there's one more name on that. I don't think they'll call him, but I've seen his name on, you know, everybody's putting him on the candidate list. Shane Beamer. Do they go that route? 1 year at South Carolina hadn't looked great, but
I don't know.
But, I mean, you know, there's always going to be that. There's always going to be that connection of, oh, well, do you bring in the son? I don't think they do. But, like, I was just, you know, whenever there's a coaching opening, I'm always curious of what the Athletic or Sporting News or, you know, they all come up with their lists, and I've seen Shane Beamer's name on a couple. Hugh Freeze is on there. Bill O'Brien is on there.
I would be honestly really surprised if they went to Shane Beamer.
I would too. Because
was tearing it up,
yeah,
that'd be one thing.
But also, you know, you could – it's okay to move on. Like, it's okay to not have any connections to the past too. So,
well, although I didn't paint that picture.
No, you didn't. You're trying to go way back to it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what their mindset is. I don't know what they're looking for.
Billy O is interesting. You know, does Nikki help him get a head coaching job?
Hmm. Yeah.
Billy O is interesting.
Yeah, because I think that this whole OC thing is
no.
It's gonna go bye bye. I think. It just doesn't feel like he's gonna be looking for Bill O'Brien to be back for year two. I don't think.
But, I mean, you got Billy Napier, Jamie Chadwell, Bill Clark, Tony Elliott, Hugh Freeze's name is on the Sporting News list. I mean, I feel like Tony Elliott's name has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. How much is the stock – and Will Venables. How much has their stock dropped, though, after this year?
I would say Hugh Freeze definitely is going to be in the mix, I would think. Chadwell, I think. I don't know.
Napier?
I don't know what they're – yeah. Yeah. I would think. It's an interesting
Bill Clark's
job.
An interesting name, too.
Yeah.
At UAB.
Yep. I think – I don't know how UAB has been able to keep him. I really don't.
Well, I don't know how – I mean, you know, Napier and Chadwell have – I mean, their name's been floated out there for a couple of years now.
We can ask Mitch Light in the final hour where he thinks they're going with this. But Justin Fuente is out. His first season went 10-4. Second season went 9-4. Third season, 6-7. Fourth season, 8-5. Last year went 5-6. And this year is 5-5. So it looks like another like 6-6 type of season for Virginia Tech. And as I just gave you Frank Beamer's resume, that was something you hardly ever saw at Virginia Tech. So I don't think they believe really in those type of seasons. I mean, if you really look, it's pretty incredible, the body of work Beamer had. Once he got the program cranking in like 93, you know, 9 wins, it's like every year was 9, 10, or 11 wins, like every year. Until the very – even the very end where back-to-back 7-6 seasons, which by his standards were incredibly low, right? 7-6. I don't think he ever had a losing season. His first two seasons were losing seasons. No, that's not true. His first several seasons were losing seasons. Obviously, the program probably needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
But 93, once they broke through 9 wins, it was basically that's what it looked like the rest of the way, for the most part.
It's all about building the culture, building the program.
Yep, pretty much. All right, we'll come back on the other side. We'll see where they go. We've got David Poyle coming up at 11:15 today, our weekly chat with him up in Toronto as the Predators get ready to keep this thing rolling down the tracks with the Leafs tonight. At high noon, Tim Hasselbeck, so we'll get into all NFL stuff with him. Are we going up to Toronto next, or what are we doing?
Yeah, I believe that's the plan.
Okay, I think they're headed over to the rink right now. I think we'll check in with Willie and find out what it looks like for morning skate. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back around Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. Our show is presented by Kratian CBD. Kratian CBD products curated for life. Hey, you may want to head over to thegamenashville.com/deals. Check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to Brooklyn Bowl. If you feel like snacking, they've got hummus, fried pickles, rock and roll fries, and more. Roll on over to Brooklyn Bowl for bowling starting at 5 p.m. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Let's head up to Toronto where the Predators are. They'll take on the Leafs tonight. 6 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 5 o'clock. Willie Donick is standing by. And with that being said, I hope he's sitting down. Are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
Good. Good.
I know what you're about to say.
Because the news, I don't know how you feel, but I'll just, here goes. Noah Syndergaard has inked a 1-year deal worth $21 million to, with?
The Angels.
The Los Angeles Angels. He is no longer a member of your beloved Mets. In all seriousness,
1-year deal. Wow.
What is he today? I mean, I feel like the last time I saw him pitch, he had short hair. I mean, what is he?
Well, I feel like, you know, his nickname was Thor. I think he's like drunk Thor in one of the Avengers movies. You know, when Thor got fat and out of shape and just drank all the time. Is he that now? Is that what he is?
I'd be curious to know what the Mets offered.
I'm glad Elijah got that.
He had the bad Tommy John surgery, you know, that took forever to heal from. So he basically missed the last 2 years. He hasn't pitched at all. So, like, at all.
Right, that's what
one
I'm saying.
Inning,
like, what is
the end of the season?
Yeah.
So, it kind of stinks for the Mets. They do all the rehab. They put all the money into making him better. And then he bolts on a 1-year deal. Like, why not send a 1-year deal with the Mets? And if you want to become a free agent and, you know, bet on yourself for 1 year, I get that. But you're going to go to the Angels? I don't get that. But I don't know what the Mets offered. So maybe the Angels just blew him away.
Willie's upset.
I have no idea what the Mets are up to right now.
We have our answer now. He's upset.
Yeah. Well, we have no idea what the Mets are doing anyway. They've been trying to hire a GM. They still don't have a manager. It's been a crazy offseason. It's not crazy, just nothing. They can't get anywhere to do anything.
Okay. There's only one baseball signing that I care about, and it hadn't happened yet. So.
Yeah. Noah Syndergaard, by the way, an original Toronto Blue Jay. So I'll bring it back to Toronto where I am now. Traded to the Mets along with Travis d'Arnaud for, you remember?
Joe Carter.
Nope. R.A. Dickey.
Pat
Tabler. Cy Young.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
R.A. Dickey won the Cy Young and his stock was high. They had a disagreement on the next contract and so they made the deal. And the Blue Jays signed him to a long-term deal.
Interesting. What's the weather like up there?
Chilly. It's nice, though. Beautiful day. Blue sky. It's probably at 40 degrees. Getting down into the 30s at night. It's awesome.
A little snow like Lambeau Field on Sunday, maybe? A little sprinkle snow?
it looked like that on the forecast there was a chance for snow, but I don't think we got any last night.
Okay.
Today, it is blue sky all the way.
All right.
Beautiful day for baseball.
I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where that arena is positioned in downtown Toronto. So good news for the Predators. Did I see this, that Cousins and Carrier both out on the ice in morning skate?
Yes, that is a good sign. So that will create an interesting situation because the guys that have filled in for Carrier have done a really nice job. And I even see Mark Borowiecki on the ice. So they're going to have a decision to make because Phil Myers played very, very well. Borowiecki is back in there after being hurt. So they've got seven good choices for six spots. We know who some of those guys are going to be. And then Cousins, too. Does he get back in, though? That'll be a question that'll be answered here soon enough. They haven't put the line combinations out yet. They're still doing the basic drill so far.
I didn't get a chance to talk with you guys about this. This move happened while I was away. Can't say that I was surprised, but I guess my question is, why now? What was the tipping point for Rocco Grimaldi being released, passing through waivers, and sent to Milwaukee?
You know what? I think it's a further commitment to size. And Michael McCarron, who is a guy that has not really found any traction in the last couple of years since he's been with the organization, he played a big role on that outstanding Milwaukee team from a couple years ago. They wanted to bring him up. They also have a guy named Cole Smith who's getting older. You know, he's developed a lot as well. So he's another guy that plays the style that fits well with the way John Hines wants to play. And so I think it was a numbers game. And I think Rocco Grimaldi, honestly, was very frustrated, rightfully so. He just couldn't find the role that was a better choice rather than what they've gone with here. And so far, McCarron has played by far his best hockey. He's played three, in my opinion, outstanding games. If you look at his analytics, really good things are happening when he's on the ice. He's big, he's strong, and he fits with the mold of this team now, which is, you know, they got a little bit of toughness and intimidation going forward, which has not been the case in the past several years, but that's been building the last 2 years with the herd, et cetera.
I know when we've talked about it in the past, I've kind of said it feels like Rocco's turned into kind of the square peg on this roster, at least with John Hines at the helm. And you've brought up the point, well, with all this size, he could be a nice, you know, option where, you know, all the other smaller guys have disappeared off this roster. So maybe he's kind of the anomaly guy, right? That he's, you know, it's not a roster littered with players like that, but, you know, he could be kind of the offset to that. What do you think changed? And so does that mean that you were surprised by this move?
I wasn't totally surprised. And I thought Rocco had played okay when he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, like I told you, they like these big guys. And they wanted more of it. They also, I think the emergence of Tommy Novak, who gives them a little bit more skill as a change of pace, that's a guy I had not accounted for when they were putting the roster together in training camp when we were kind of talking about Rocco as being the speed change of pace. You know, Novak's not a blazer, but he plays fast. He's a good distributor. He's got some skill. They put him on the power play. So, like I said, it was a numbers game, and they put him in Milwaukee. He had to clear waivers, so anybody could have had him. And this is where Rocco and the contract he earned, the two-year, $2 million per year deal, probably ended up hurting him some.
Yeah.
Because at $2 million a year, he's not as attractive on the waiver wire as if he was making more like $1 million a year.
Yep.
And so that's why, unfortunately, he's down in Milwaukee. And that happens to some guys who make pretty decent money, who aren't clear-cut guys who can help your team. I was a little bit surprised. I thought somebody like an Arizona, somebody who could use a little zip, a little punch, could absolutely use Rocco. But nobody bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would agree with you on that. I do think this was a case where he got paid, but maybe that contract probably hurt him on finding a new home. So what are the Predators in for with this Leafs team? It kind of feels like the Edmonton game when they went on the road and had to play the Oilers. Right? We know about Toronto's firepower, right? Like, you have to be aware of just certain guys on the ice because you know the Leafs can put the puck in the back of the net. But when you look at this Toronto team, what do you see?
Well, it is somewhat similar to Edmonton. But rather than two juggernauts, and by the way, if you look at the points that Draisaitl and McDavid continue to put up, it's unbelievable.
Draisaitl. I know, it's crazy.
It's sick.
It's out of control. Nobody can stop those guys. But Toronto's got a similar situation, but they have the big investment in the four guys, right? They have Marner and Matthews, and then they have Nylander and Tavares. And the good news is for them, kind of like Draisaitl and McDavid, those guys are carrying the load. Those are their top four scorers. So after a bit of a slow start, and remember they got hammered after they lost in the first round to the Canadiens last year. Everybody's moaning and groaning. You got to break it up. What are you doing? Can these guys ever win? They hung in there with these guys, and they got into a slow start this year. And there were a lot of fans saying, "Hey, I told you they should break up the team." And the next thing you know, they've ripped off. I don't know what they've got. I think they're 9-1 in the last 10, something like that. They're playing really, really well, really well. So these are two teams that are functioning at a high level at this point. So this is going to be a tough matchup.
Willie Donick is with us from Toronto. What is Jason Spezza at this point in his career? He's got 6 points in 16 games. Yeah, he is old, but still seems like there's some production there.
Well, when you have the big investment in the four guys up front, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of money for the other spots. So you got to have veteran players who make very little money, and that's kind of what Spezza and our good buddy Wayne Simmonds, another guy that was a former Predator, same situation, right? They have those two guys on the fourth line, veterans that know how to play. They're not what they used to be, but they don't make a lot of money. They don't take a lot of salary cap up, and so they fill in those roles, and they're doing a decent job. They don't play a lot of minutes, but, you know, they're trusted veterans you can put out there.
Against Arizona, Elli Tolvanen had a couple of assists. He had the one really good chance that I thought he was going to bury. But when you watch him right now, what do you see?
Well, I think Mace and I were talking about this on the broadcast. The fact that he had two assists the other day has got to help his confidence. Like, when you come to the arena and you pick up the stat sheet and you don't have any numbers, it's like I was telling you the other day, Jake, when Joe Dubin was asking me about what it was like in Medicine Hat, I was like, when they had put your name on the scoreboard and you're hitting 135 and everybody on there sees it, everybody knows, you're aware of it, it hurts your confidence. So Elli Tolvanen, when he had one goal, no assists for about 10 straight games, it probably wasn't doing much for his confidence, even though, as we said many, many times, he's getting the most shots per 60 minutes of anybody on the team. So sooner or later, he's going to have a puck start going in, and I think he's going to get hot. But the fact that he's gotten a few assists here recently, I think it makes the numbers look better. So now, to me, he's just the one breakout game away from sort of getting back on course. Luke Cunningham, I think, is in that.
That's who I was going to ask about next, is Luke Cunningham.
Yeah, starting to come around. I think both of those guys would be in that category, starting to find their game, and I think it's a good sign because you're still looking at a team playing without Philip Forsberg, and they're being carried by Granlund, Duchesne, and Josi right now, but you need other guys eventually to pick up the slack when those guys cool off.
Have you been pleased with what you've seen out of Tomasino in 13 games?
You know, he's a little bit what I expected, and this is interesting. He's from around here. He's going to have a lot of family here. This will be an interesting game for him because he'll be on the spotlight. A lot of media, I'm sure, will come up and start asking him all kinds of stuff. He's making big plays. He's making mistakes, and that's exactly what you would think for a 20-year-old. But I think they're going to keep throwing him out there. He keeps earning the right. He's done enough to keep being put back in there. Because the way this team is constructed, you need that guy who can create something out of nothing every now and then, as long as he continues to get better in the other areas of his game. And I think the more he plays, the better he's going to get. Long term, I think he's going to be an outstanding player for this team.
So something that I know is way too early to talk about, but Ryan and I were discussing it on Preds Insiders last night. Yossi for Norris and Saros for Vezina, and the way they're playing right now, obviously tonight they'll be spotlighted, you know, with the Toronto media there and the Canadian media. So how big could that be for them getting noticed more on a national level, playing in front of the Canadian media tonight?
I think it's a really good point that you're making. These are the kind of games you have extra eyes watching, extra voters watching that don't normally watch the Predators. There's no question about it. People don't watch the Predators up here nearly as much as they watch the Canadian teams. On the Vezina thing, you've got Yossi Soros, and you've also got this guy, Jack Campbell, who has come on like a house on fire towards the end of last year, and he's picked up right where he left off. They might be two of the five best goalies in the league right now. There's some pretty amazing numbers right now if you look at goalie stats, but these are two of them. So I think that's something that will be a big storyline tonight, Jack Campbell and Yossi Soros. But Roman Yossi, he's arrived, right? Everybody knows that they know who he is. And now he's got the numbers to go with it. So there's no question he's early on going to be in that discussion.
No doubt. I wanted to pass this along that Pete, not on the trip tonight, the Preds putting this out, that Pete's going to miss tonight's game. He's been feeling under the weather, not COVID-related. And the plan is for him to be there back with Hal on Saturday. But Rick Peckham, longtime broadcaster with Tampa Bay, is going to fill in for Pete on the radio side tonight.
Yes, Rick Peckham is an outstanding broadcaster. In fact, he is a Hall of Famer, and that's why he's here. And that worked out very conveniently that he was up here to receive basically the Broadcaster's Award in the wing of the Hall of Fame. And so it worked out that he could come in and do the game tonight and pinch hit for Pete. He's a great guy, he's a great announcer. He was the announcer for the Lightning for all those years and did an outstanding job. And, of course, as you know, in the front office, you got Bill Wickett, Sean Henry, Jerry Helper, guys who have ties to Tampa. So it was an easy phone call to make. And, you know, first and foremost, we wish Pete well. You know, he's been battling. We saw on the last road trip him come down with something, and he is fighting to get through it, and he did. He got through the rest of the road trip, got through the game on Saturday, but just a little bit of rest. I know he does not like to sit out games one bit. If you go back through his years, and he's been doing it for a long time, he almost never misses a game. I mean, almost never. So get well, Pete, and we'll see you up here in Montreal on Saturday. Very special hotel that we'll be staying in, as Pete knows.
There's no way he's missing that.
I'm glad he's getting that.
No way he's missing that.
That would be motivation. If he needed any, that would be extra motivation to get up to Montreal.
If you could, when you get there, take a picture and send it to him. He'll be there. There's no way he's missing that. Please tell me Toronto is unaware of Peter Mrazek's record against the Predators. It's going to be Campbell tonight, right?
Oh, it's absolutely Campbell because Mrazek is hurt. That's a big part of the storyline.
Okay, good.
So how about this for goalie musical chairs? Mrazek playing with Carolina last year. Carolina has a really good team, as we all remember. They decide to not re-sign any of their goalies. They had three of them.
Yep.
They all go into the free agency. Up here, Frederick Anderson, who was a Maple Leaf for a long time, they were dissatisfied with his performance in the playoffs. They let him go. So where do they go? Anderson goes to Carolina. He's right in there in the early Vezina discussion. He's been lights out for Carolina. The Maple Leafs pick up Mrazek. He's been hurt the entire time he's been here. He's played, I think, one period or something like that.
Well, I think he's played a couple games, hasn't he?
Yeah, not very much, though. He's had two separate groin issues.
Okay.
So Jack Campbell has come in and just absolutely been lights out. So it's paved the way for maybe the next star. And Jack Campbell's interesting because he's 29 years old. So he is a late bloomer. He hadn't really done anything in his career until the end of last year. Sort of come out of nowhere, and now he's playing as well as anybody.
News coming out of where you are. The Blue Jays have reached an agreement with pitcher Jose Berrios. 7-year, $131 million deal. Physical pending.
They signed him. They traded for him last year from the Twins. He's a talented player, and they gave up quite a bit to get him. So that doesn't surprise me that they made the investment. We know the Blue Jays can hit, right? They got all those young players, the sons of major leaguers, Guerrero, Biggio, Bichette. they can hammer the ball, but they needed some pitchers. And so that's a guy that they're going to count on.
Yep.
What do you guys think Freddie's going to get from the Braves?
Not what I'm seeing out there, I don't think, personally. I was a little surprised at what he's turned down.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I mean, I've seen 7 years, 189. I don't know about that, but
it'll get done.
I hope so.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
he's not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, the Braves have proven they're not afraid. I mean, they're not afraid to. They're not going to just give in and give whatever they want. I mean, those days are gone. Back when they had, you know, the Uptons and just paying silly money for people.
Yeah, but this is different. This is Freddie Freeman.
I understand. But they've offered him.
I don't know what they'll end up signing him for, but it will get done. There's no way. He doesn't want to leave, and they cannot lose him. That's the one guy they've got to keep.
Yep, agreed. But somebody's going to have to concede somewhere, or both.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Willie Donick up in Toronto. Predators and Leafs tonight, 6 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 5 o'clock. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Of course, Willie will have your call on Bally Sports at 6 o'clock. Their pregame starting on television on the TV side at 5:30. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. David Poile coming up at 11:15. It's a weekly chat with us. Looking forward to that. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC. The phone screener says Mark in Toronto. Is that right?
That's what I see.
Okay. Well, let's find out what Mark wants to talk about in Toronto.
Well, good morning, fellas. How's everybody doing today?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Well, it's code red weather up here in north of Toronto. I woke up to snow flurries with a light dusting, so it's a great day for a hockey game.
Oh, okay. So there was a little dusting of some snow. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. That gets us in the mood up here, so it's going to be fine. But it's code red weather, too, because we're going to be lighting the lamps up against the Leafs tonight. I'm telling you, we're going to be coming back from years past. I'm thinking a big win, 7-3. We're going to chase Soupy out of that net. He's like a sieve, so he's gone. Jeanette's going to have a big game. Pullivan's going to have a big game. And then, of course, the big fellas with Duchesne and Johansson and Yossi back there clapping. It's going to be awesome.
You going?
Unfortunately, some of us got to work. Mm. Unless Willie wants to give up his seat. Listen, we can make something happen. Not a bad day. Not a bad day to help out a Fred's fan.
I think he's got to be in his seat.
He's usually pretty busy. He's kind of important.
Yeah. You know what? I'll give him that. So you know what? There's going to be lots of Fred's Nation up there. You'll see the blue and gold. It'll be fine. These Leaf fans up here, like all the fellas I work with and the Leaf fans, they flip-flop. More like when we throw a catfish on the ice. They don't know what they want. They're going to the cup. They're not going to the cup. Trade them all. Sign them all. Bench them. Don't bench them. I love it. It's not. It's like watching the Real Housewives up here. There's so much drama.
Mark, thanks for calling in. Enjoy the game tonight.
Listen, it's going to be great. I'm going to be down your way around Christmas. We'll bring some smoked meat. I'm telling you, if you get hold of Willie, tell him to go to the Loose Moose for a little suds before with mate bag chucking in full effect. It'll be great, fellas.
All right,
we'll do
good
it.
Stuff, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Come by and say hello when you come to town in December. In all seriousness, these two teams are blazing hot, as we were talking about. Preds are 8-1-1 in their last 10. Toronto 8-2 in their last 10.
Yeah,
so it doesn't get any hotter than these two teams.
This is a measuring stick game. I mean, you want to see where you're at. And, you know, one thing that Ryan and I talked about on Preds Insiders was, you know, some of the fan base is still a little hesitant, which I get. You know, I totally get. You know, it's still early in the season. But, you know, my response was, well, let's see what they look like against a team like Toronto, because I think Toronto is a really good team. I mean, the way they're playing and with the firepower that they have, this is what you want to see, how you can match up against them. So – And like I brought up with Willie, I mean, if you're thinking along the lines of getting notoriety, if you're Juuse Saros or Roman Josi, and I know they don't care personally, but you know, from a fan's point of view, this is a great opportunity for that. And I would expect that those two will continue to play at the level that they've been playing at. I mean, Josi has just been just sick, like just how he's played, like just that set up to Duchesne the other night. I know you were gone. That was just, I'm like, I don't know how he does that. And I made the joke to Hal in post game. You know, I was going to ask him something about playing defense. It's like, you played the position. And he goes, I didn't play that position. I wasn't even close to that position that Josi plays. He's just unreal. So, but I'm looking forward to this one tonight. I think this is going to be a true test. Let's see how they match up and then kind of go from there.
Wayne on Twitter says, get well soon, Pete Weber Sports. He tweets this at us. I heard he is day-to-day with a lower body injury. Hope he can be back on Saturday.
Well, I'm just glad he's going to get to be in Montreal.
I don't know if that's officially been put out there, upper body, lower body. I think Wayne may be on to something. But hopefully Pete can be back to Montreal. Because there is no game on Thursday.
No.
It's Ottawa.
No.
Senators
but
the game has been postponed.
Yeah, see, you missed. There was a point in the game Saturday. Pete had to step away for a second, so Hal took over.
No, I didn't miss anything. That started on Wednesday night.
Oh, okay. So Hal had to do some play-by-play Wednesday?
No. Hal had to start post-game.
Oh, gotcha. Well, he actually had to do some play-by-play.
I literally was with Elijah. I was like, where's Pete?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, Hal did some play-by-play on Thursday and then again on Saturday and actually got his first goal call on Saturday. It was the Josi goal, the power play goal. Hal got to call that. So that was a special moment in time.
He did a great job.
He did.
A fantastic job.
He did. So proud of him. Good job, Skillsy.
Well, I mean, it means he's been paying attention. He's been working alongside the best.
And that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
He's heard a lot of goals scored from Pete Weber, so he just took the reins and ran with it like a pro.
Joey from Gallatin says the Preds winning tonight would cap off a great 29th birthday. Go Preds. I've got Dutchie and Granny with a goal. Well, happy birthday, Joey.
By the way, our pick six question was loaded with points. Was it not?
Yeah.
I have it somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. It was.
And I think I had the right answer. It was B, was it not?
Yes.
Granlund and Josi?
Yes. I believe that is correct.
Because
Josi had 4
Johansson
points.
Johansson were A.
Right. Which they had. They each had. Well, no, one had a goal. Yeah, no, Duchesne, so it's B. I have right. My pad is in the office. I don't have it with me.
Yeah, it was A, Grant. I'm sorry. It was, yeah, A was Granlund Josi. B was Duchesne Johansson. So,
yeah,
sorry.
I had B.
A. You took B?
Yeah.
I took A. You could not top shelf that.
Nope.
More points. What do most people go with? That was a tough one.
It was pretty mixed.
Was it?
Yeah, it was pretty mixed. So, I think you were the only one that said no to the upset question. Between us.
Yep. Jets, Jags, Lions.
Which the Lions. Damn ties.
Yep.
They didn't lose.
I took the Chiefs. They also didn't win.
Yep.
Tie
does not count.
Who had more yards from scrimmage? It was Foreman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
You and I had the same answer.
Yeah.
I think Willie had McNichols.
I think I missed on the sacks, too. I said under. Definitely not the under. They had that before halftime. Of course, they didn't get any more. In fact, we'll come back. We'll talk about Monday night last night. How about that?
Yeah, I want to get into Manning Cast a little bit.
Rams got shelled. That's now 2 weeks in a row on Sunday night and Monday Night Football. So 2 weeks in a row on a national stage, and boy, they have not looked good. Pretty interesting, but we'll come back and discuss that to start the second hour of the program. Plus, David Poyle will check in as well as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once.
Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Law 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.